You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
Director Ray, I'm deeply concerned that the FBI and the Department of Justice have become thoroughly politicized. I think this is a problem that began during the Obama administration. I think it metastasized with career officials during the Trump administration, and I think it continues and is even worse today under the Biden administration. I don't believe you personally reflect that politicization, but I think you've been unwilling to root it out and unwilling to hold people accountable for the politicization. I hear regularly from FBI agents and from professionals at the Department of Justice who are dismayed that our law enforcement has been weaponized and politicized rather than remaining apolitical as it has been for the history of our country.
And as it should remain. Those are the words of Senator Ted Cruz addressing FBI Director Ray in front of a Senate Judiciary Committee hearing. This is August 5th, 2022. We are live streaming as I speak at rumble.com. You can go to rumble.com, enter in search engine, Larry Connors USA. It'll open up our Rumble page. You push live, you join us in studio. Remember, every program is also posted as a podcast when we finish at larryconnorsusa.com. larryconnorsusa.com. You can always share it with others. You can subscribe for free. So let's break down what some of Senator Cruz's remarks are. He pointed out that during this Senate Judiciary Committee hearing, he said a Project Veritas report had been released in saying that the FBI had distributed to FBI agents in a training manual suggestions of symbols associated with terrorists. First of all, FBI Director Ray said, well, I don't know anything about that. You're the FBI director, and you don't know what's being taught to your agents? You didn't look at this manual? You didn't approve it? Is that what you're saying? He didn't say that. He just said, I'm not familiar with it, so I can't really talk about it. That's a weak alibi, sir. One of the symbols that got pointed out is the Gadsden flag. It's the one, of course, I've got one right here. In the studio, right beside me on the computer. Designed after politician Christopher Gadsden, designed it in 1775 during the American Revolution, used by Continental Marines. It was used as a willingness to show that we will defend against coercion. It's associated with ideas of individualism and liberty. I've got one right here. FBI, note this, label me as a terrorist if this is in your pamphlet. Oh, and another thing that's listed in their pamphlet, the Betsy Ross flag, our first flag of the U.S. of A. President Obama took his oath of office under two Betsy Ross flags. Biden took his under one Betsy Ross flag. We're going to get into that in more detail the second hour. And as you know by now, Arizona Democrat Senator Kyrsten Sinema signing on to the Inflation Reduction Comedy Act. Why, we still don't know. We're not hearing anything directly from her. What did she get out of it? There's also a report that Senator Manchin, who signed on before her and after his private meeting with Senator Leader Schumer, seems to be wavering. They need all 50 votes. If it is a 50-50 tie, it goes to VP Harris, who will break the tie, and the Inflation Reduction Comedy Act will be passed. That includes 88,000 new IRS agents coming after you. Another Democrat senator actually said the silent thing out loud. We'll get into that. And because of our drone strike that killed the Al-Qaeda leader, State Department, of course, issued an update warning for Americans traveling abroad. And a warning should go out to Americans here because we don't know how many Al-Qaeda have come across our open borders. Guest today, Fred Flights, Vice Chair of American First Policy, 20 years in the CIA. We'll answer some questions on that. China's still making noise over the Pelosi visit. My other guest, Tristan Justice, a Federalist correspondent, says there is a left-wing organization sounding the alarm that the U.S. is too dependent on China. Too dependent. That's from a left-wing group. And then we have Whoopi Goldberg stating God supports killing unborn babies. You heard me. Whoopi Goldberg claims that God supports killing unborn babies. Let your friends and family know we're on the air. Have them switch to us right now before we begin the next segment. It's going to be an amazing and fast 2 hours. Lock and load. Ready. On the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Your eyes are burning. You're sneezing. It's allergy season. Pollen readings are sky high. Heck, you can even see that yellow powder on everything. So that's also inside your air conditioning ducts. I suggest you call Wellington Environmental. Now, other companies will be glad to do the job, but they're going to come to your home or business, count the air ducts, and begin increasing the cost. In fact, the quoted price might even double. Wellington offers one price, no extras. You'll be charged exactly what Wellington quotes. So this is easy for you. Call 314-644-4930, 644-4930. You will breathe easier. Wellington has a AAA rating with the Better Business Bureau. 314-644-4930, 644-4930. Wellington Environmental, your world cleaner, better, safer. Be well with Wellington. I want you to know something special. John Beal Roofing constantly gives back to the community in so many ways, supporting more charities and good causes than any other local roofing company. Why? It's the right thing to do. Keep that in mind when you need a new roof, plus quality work at the lowest price, guaranteed. John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
I'm picking up good vibrations. She's giving me the excitations. I'm picking up good vibrations. She's giving me excitations.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Breaking news tonight from Capitol Hill, where it appears there is a deal on the Inflation Reduction Act that even Kyrsten Sinema is satisfied with. What is not in it? Closing the carried interest loophole, which allows the richest of the rich private equity giants to pay less taxes than the rest of us. So let's bring in Leanne Caldwell, the author of The Washington Post, Early 202, and she's now got a brand new newsletter to write tonight. Leanne, let's put carried interest over to the side for a moment. This thing is a big, big win for Democrats, isn't it?
It absolutely is. This is something that, after it fell apart months and months ago, that no one thought it was coming back. There was some talk that perhaps they would get something. And then a deal last week with Senator Manchin and Senator Schumer shocked the political world, especially everyone on Capitol Hill.
Yeah, everyone on Capitol Hill being shocked by Senator Kyrsten Sinema, Democrat of Arizona, suddenly deciding she's in. She's bought in. She says, let's move forward. Those are her words that are being quoted. Apparently, there's been no real interview given, but she says, let's move forward on the Democrats' $740 billion reconciliation bill. That was a statement she released last night. She held out supporting the Inflation Reduction Comedy Act. I know the word comedy isn't in there, but believe me, this is what this is. The Inflation Reduction Comedy Act, she held out after facing pressure from Democrats who will need every vote to pass the bill. As she and Manchin had previously killed Biden's Build Back Better project earlier. Senate Democrats then made several changes to the bill to secure Sinema support after they got Manchin on board. We'll get into that in a moment. But according to some reports out that she said her vote is contingent on approval from the Senate parliamentarian who ensures the bill's text meets reconciliation requirements. If so, I'll move forward. They will claim that this is going to reduce taxes, but a Penn Wharton budget model found that the bill's impact on inflation is basically zero. You heard me? Zero. Which brings us to, what else is she getting out of this? She's just saying, I'm all for it. Oh, the pressure got to be just too much. Does she think it's really going to help the citizens of Arizona? There's nothing in there specifically for them. Joe Manchin, West Virginia, very big coal mining and fossil fuel industry in general, supposedly in this private meeting he had with Senator Chuck Schumer, and I say supposedly because neither one is discussing it directly, and not one damn reporter in Washington will ask and have the gonads to ask directly, Manchin, what are you getting out of this? Ask him that. And does it involve a pipeline that they're going to give you a quick permit on? Supposedly, it does involve that. Manchin's alluded to it, but it's not in the bill. He's taking Schumer's word that, hey, come along, Joe, vote with us, and after we get this through, then we'll work on an early and quick permit for that pipeline. Would you trust Chuck Schumer? Manchin is. Senator Cruz yesterday said, I don't understand. I don't know. And most of them are saying, did he get duped? And as far as what cinema is getting or not getting, it's still unclear. But they need all 50 votes. Schumer wants to bring this to a vote on the bill to proceed this Saturday. He wants it on a motion to proceed with the bill tomorrow. And then the bill would be up for debate on the Senate floor. They are going to try to ram this through before the end of this month. Leon Caldwell with the Washington Post describes some of the scene behind the curtain.
Senator Sinema was the last outstanding issue. They had been working furiously to get her on the board for the past week because she was not involved in those previous negotiations. And now that she's on board, this really looks like it's going to pass. And this is going to be the most expansive, the biggest investment and climate change proposals this country has ever seen. There's still some obstacles here. So you can't spike the football yet, but if Democrats get this done, this is huge for the midterm elections and huge for the Biden agenda.
Yeah, or maybe not. It could be the final nail in their coffin, too. Because Americans can see apparently what these politicians are either blind to or purposely overlooking. It is going to increase taxes. Every report that comes out says that. Even the bipartisan Tax Committee, Congressional Authority Committee, says it will increase taxes. Maybe not on you directly. It doesn't come to you and say, we're going to raise your tax bracket. Are you going to have to pay more here? But it's going to be borne out by the numbers I've given you previously from the Tax Conciliation or U.S. Joint Committee on Taxation. $17 billion of this project, $17 billion of this $740 billion will be paid by those who make $200,000 or less. $14 billion be paid by those making $200,000 to $500,000 a year. Another $6 billion paid by those making $500,000 to a million. Well, that's not all of it, Larry. I mean, that's not $740. No, it's not. The rest is supposedly going to come from taxing businesses, raising their taxes. Just when Trump got them to come back from foreign countries, cutting their rates, they're going to jack it up again, and especially going after reinvesting in their companies. We'll get into that. That's the so-called loophole. But Senator Graham, Lindsey Graham, Republican, South Carolina, says this is bogus.
But the bill's a complete fraud. So when you ask people outside of politics, you know, Joe Biden today, President Biden was at the business roundtable urging them to call Congress to pass a bill to lower inflation. Okay, so the Inflation Reduction Act, when looked at by the Congressional Budget Office, the gold standard, according to Joe Manchin, says that in 2022, it will have negligible effect on inflation. In 2023, next year, inflation will go up or down by 0.1%. That doesn't sound like to me it's reducing inflation. They also told us that the subsidies for Obamacare include people that make $304,000 a year. That doesn't sound like helping the poor.
No, it doesn't, does it? Do you make $300,000 a year? You're not going to be helped. If you make less than that, you're definitely not going to be helped. That's the opinion of Senator Lindsey Graham. Senator John Kennedy, Republican of Louisiana, on the Inflation Reduction Comedy Act.
Let me say, as a just a general proposition, at some point we need to stop asking who needs to pay more taxes and start asking what the hell happened to all the money that we had. But I digress. Because of inflation, which was made in Washington by President Biden, more and more Americans are getting really good and barely getting by in the wealthiest country in all of human history, and it's because of inflation. I don't hate anybody, but Senator Manchin's bill is an inflation machine.
It is an inflation machine, and you keep hearing referring it to Senator Manchin's bill. Senator Schumer, of course, really wants a credit, but there's a thin line between credit and blame, and I'll explain why Kennedy and others are still calling it the Manchin bill. I'll come back to that. I mentioned this loophole they're supposedly going to close. Let me give you what we supposedly are getting from Schumer in a statement. He says, I believe the party line bill will get unanimous Democrat support. It will put us one step closer to enacting this historic legislation. It preserves major pieces of his earlier agreement with Senator Joe Manchin. Well, they're not actually in the bill, the agreement that supposedly involves giving him a quick pipeline permit. They say they'll work on it. The new agreement they got Sinema apparently involves a new 1% excise tax on stock buybacks that should bring in $73 billion. That would be far more than the $4 billion raised by the carried interest provision, according to one Democrat familiar with it. Adds roughly $5 billion in drought resiliency to the bill. All told, Sinema expected to increase the bill's original $300 billion deficit reduction figure. That comes hours after she's on the floor and just being pummeled by members of her chamber. Schumer has the Senate taken today off. He said we need to clarify a kind of a murky timeline for passing the bill. We do have facing multiple outstanding issues, but he warned there will be some late nights and extended debates as we are going to get this legislation in the coming days. And as I said, come Saturday, he plans on bringing them back in. This loophole bill that they keep talking about, the 15%, this is taxing businesses that have made a profit. And they're going to take that money and put it back into their business. That would be expenditures. They want them to treat it as a capital gains and going to hit them with a 15% tax. To that extent, Senator Graham again.
The 15% minimum tax that you described will create disincentives to build factories and buy equipment during a recession. Now, who in their right mind wants to tax and spend during a recession? Who wants to create policies during a recession to de-incentivize investing into the private sector? Only liberals who worship at the altar of climate change. Climate change is a religion for them, not a problem. And if you want environmental justice, get China and India to play the same game we're playing.
That's the point, because they don't. Now, the economy added 528,000 jobs in July, unemployment falling to 3.5%. So now they're going to use that and say, see, we're not in a recession. No, you still qualify as recession. You're either pregnant or you're not. We're in a recession, not a deep recession. We may be able to get back out. This is going to sink it, though, I will guarantee you. And again, who's going to get credit or blame? It's such a thin line. Again, Senator Kennedy from
Senator Manchin's bill is a massive tax increase on oil and gas. Now, when you tax something, you get less of it. Duh. And his bill is going to make prices go up. Now, Senator Manchin and the White House may say, well, Here's what you ought to do. Because you can't afford gas, you need to go buy a $75,000 Tesla. That might work in West Virginia. That doesn't work in Louisiana.
It doesn't work in a lot of places. It doesn't work in the blue states and blue cities. A CNN anchor was doing an interview with a congressman, and she's talked about how branding is everything with this bill. Now, again, I bring that up because Chuck Schumer wants his name on it. Senator Manchin's name is now being attached to it a lot more often. Listen how the CNN anchor talks about how important the branding and presentation of this bill is.
Branding is an important part in all of this. I know you would agree to that. It's no longer Build Back Better. It is the Inflation Reduction Act. And most economists would agree that it does reduce inflation over time. Are you worried at all, however, that this is being oversold to the public who may be hoping for an instant fix in terms of inflation and how it's impacting their bottom lines?
No, they're not. And then to that extent, it is going to hurt Manchin. The state attorney general for West Virginia, Republican, his remarks.
What they're trying to do is dramatically alter the amount of energy that we're using in the form of coal, shift it over to renewables, but they're doing it in such a fast manner. If they succeed in their quick 40% reduction of carbon emissions, and West Virginia is part of that by this short time frame they're talking about, the West Virginia economy is going to go in a very bad direction. Deeply disheartening for Senator Manchin to really put this bill together. I couldn't think of a bill that you could draft that would be worse for West Virginia right now. I've read big chunks of this bill, and from an energy perspective, this is lights out time for our state.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
The Joint Committee on Taxation, which doesn't take sides, has said unconditionally, categorically, unequivocally, that every American is going to feel the financial burden of Senator Manchin's bill. And I like Joe. He's very clever. I've listened to his interviews. He can talk a dog off a meat wagon, but he can't change the facts of the joint, the impartial, nonpartisan Joint Committee on taxation. And final point, Joe's bill is going to raise money, raise taxes on corporations, and corporations don't pay taxes. People do.
You got to.
And it is a special kind of stupid to raise taxes on businesses during a recession.
Senator John Kennedy of Louisiana, Republican. Well, of course, I can hear the cry now from the left. We're not in a recession. Remember, we're going to redefine recession. We're going to rewrite the wording when it has always been stated when you have two back-to-back quarters where your gross domestic product falls, that is a recession. It was down this last quarter by 0.9%. Not a lot, but it's a recession. As I said earlier, you're not a little bit pregnant. You either are or you're not. But what they're going to do is point to these new job figures I alluded to earlier. We added 528,000 jobs in July. Unemployment falling to 3.5%. That all sounds good. In fact, on average, we've added 450,000 jobs per month in 2022. That's extremely high rate of payroll building. Even more extraordinary, given the low rate of employment and the fact that we've had U.S. economy contracting in both the first and second quarters, which I just described to you. So they're going to continue insisting that this says everything good. Everything's good. And that's why we should have our Inflation Reduction Comedy Act passed. here's where the rubber hits the road and where someone said what they should be saying silent and in closed chambers. He said it out loud. Democrat Senator Hickenlooper of Colorado.
Inflation, I mean, every time I go anywhere in Colorado, anywhere in the United States, people are talking about inflation. And it's been a real difficult obstacle for people just to balance their monthly budgets and their household budgets. It is a problem with people all around this country and the world that inflation is a serious problem. But I want to keep people's eye on the prize, that this is a way to address climate change that we've never even come close to before.
Climate change. Those are the words that he slipped in there, and that's what he wasn't supposed to say. I mean, it's already there in the bill. We all see it. I mean, when you look at the bill, it tells you exactly how it's going to be spent, how much is going to go for climate change. They did get it down by about $8-9 billion, because Senator Manchin wouldn't go for it. So they carved $8-9 billion out. Whoopie-doo. It's still there, and as you just heard the senator from Colorado say, Hickenlooper, it's going to be the greatest thing ever to get us closer to climate control and change and doing what we want to. Word is coming out of Manchin's office from backdoor sources, and if you're going to trust them, and I'm just point that out as always when they don't have their name, one Senate committee staffer said, been watching Manchin appear, and he's very defensive in TV interviews. He's getting blasted pretty hard in West Virginia. I believe that. Another Senate aide said, looks like drops of sweat running down his forehead while he's being pressed on the bill. Another reason, one said, is for Manchin having constant heartburn lately as these private dinners with Schumer, trying to be put under Schumer's thumb and still come out looking like a champ. Yeah, that'd give you a heartburn, wouldn't it? All right, coming up, our drone attack the other day to kill the latest Al-Qaeda leader. And the State Department quickly said, Americans going abroad, you need to be more safe now. Watch out for terrorists. I say watch out for them right here in our country because of our open border policy. And when the State Department issues that warning, we're still not closing the border. Fred Flights will be joining us, America First Policy Institute, 20-plus years in intel. Stand by.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
Ackerman Toyota believes when you need service, you want genuine parts, certified mechanics, no hidden cost. You get all of that with Ackerman Toyota. Plus, if you're ready for a new car or pre-owned, see what Ackerman has on the lot or what's coming. Ackerman Toyota, Hampton and Interstate 44. Ackerman Toyota for life.
Well, since my baby left me, well, I found a new place to dwell. Well, it's down at the end of Lonely Street, that heartbreak hotel where I'll be just a lonely baby. Well, I'm so lonely.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
I'm proud to say my next guest is often wanted by every major news outlet around the nation, around the globe, and I'm always glad when he shares his time and expertise with you, the Larry Connors USA audience. Fred Flights, 20-plus years in the CIA, 25 over plus in various intel agencies, now vice chair of the America First Policy Institute. Welcome back, Fred Flights.
Hey, Larry, good to be here.
Well, I've got a lot of material. I'm going to be hitting you like with a with a fire hose, but I know you can handle it. Let's begin with, first of all, the drone strike the other day that took out the latest Al-Qaeda leader. Your thoughts first when you heard that it had been carried out.
Well, look, I'm glad to see monsters like this taken out. This person helped plan the 9/11 attacks, deadly U.S. attacks on U.S. embassies in Tanzania and Kenya in 1998. I was a little curious about the timing that happens to come a year after Biden's disastrous withdrawal from Afghanistan. We're seeing a lot of reports right now that this was in the works for a long time. I guess the issue that I'd like to know is, why was this guy operating so openly in Afghanistan? And what does this mean for whether Afghanistan is becoming a new safe haven
for radical Islamist terrorists? And Taliban had made an agreement with Trump. He said, I'll be pulling U.S. troops out when he was in office. And it was going to happen once he got his second term started, which didn't happen. And he was going to do on a timetable. And he even gave, but he said, you got to adhere to the fact you're not going to become a haven for terrorists. He was living in Kabul in the midst of other Taliban warlords. They all knew he was there.
Yeah.
So there was no surprise to them, although now they might say, don't let him live in here anymore.
Well, I mean, it really goes to show you can't trust the Taliban. They are terrorists. They're allowing terrorists to come into the country. And I will also add that although we're happy that this guy was knocked off, he was quite old and weak and sick, and there were already efforts underway to replace him. So, you know, I'm glad we got him because of what he did, but it's not going to slow down Al-Qaeda.
Well, let's talk about the replacement. I'm hearing that it will be somebody coming out of Iran that would take over Al-Qaeda at this point.
I haven't heard who's going to replace him, but I know, look, we knock off these terrorist leaders so often. They have an infrastructure in place for successors.
There's another question being raised, though, that are they now so broken into so many different cells, it's pretty hard to have a uniform attack that where you're actually inflicting any damage to the cells.
I think that's right. And look, we know Al-Qaeda is not the group it used to be before 9/11. We also know that it is Al-Qaeda and ISIS are much more active in Africa. I mean, they're trying to rebuild their presence in the Middle East, but they're subject to airstrikes. They're growing in Afghanistan, but there's a vast and fairly independent terrorist movement, well, several movements across sub-Saharan Africa that I don't think this government has any idea on how to deal with.
So we're just ignoring it, or we're not worried about it, or we're clueless?
I don't think we're – I think there's certain areas of the world where the U.S. government, and this is Republican and Democrats, they just tend to neglect because there's other things on their plate, the Middle East, Africa, China, Russia.
Sure.
South America and Africa often get short shift by U.S. presidents.
Yeah, the latest thing coming out of Africa is monkeypox, and then suddenly it's a bigger story in New York and San Francisco, right? Now,
that's right.
One thing that did happen after this drone strike the other day, the Department of State issued a warning to Americans overseas of increased threat of anti-American violence. I think that's probably expected and wise, and they raised their worldwide caution notice. The last time they'd updated was January 2019. But my other concern is terrorists already inside our country, and they did not say, and the Department of Homeland Security did not immediately say, all right, we do shut the border right now.
Well, you know, there are so many global threats. I hear that, and I think there should be a threat notice when we have a real threat out there that we can say that is concrete, or people will simply think that the U.S. government is crying wolf. And I think there's too many of these threats issued when the evidence behind it isn't very solid.
I'm going to agree with that because I know I used to have to fight in newsrooms, don't put every bomb threat on as a story. If they actually have some major evacuation or some major disruption, and then only, you know, have to reconsider, and unless a device is found, it may not even be a bomb, but if a device is found, then it took more than just picking up the phone and calling it in anonymously. But my concern is, we know we've already called at least 50 on the no-fly list from the Middle East, and I don't know how many more have gotten in that have not been vetted, and they're all waiting on a signal.
Well, I guess that's true, but look, so many potential terrorists are crossing our southern border right now, and this administration doesn't seem to care. I think Joe Biden wants an open border. He wants to change the
nature
of this country.
Well, he wants it open, but am I being paranoid by saying that I think there are too many of them are already in our midst and we're not doing anything to curtail it?
I think that's exactly right. I think this administration is just AWOL on national security.
All right, let me turn my subject to China. The 20th National Congress, Chinese Communist Party, expected it's going to take place in November. And again, President Xi Jinping is expected to be reelected. We heard all the saber rattling when Pelosi went to Taiwan. And since then, now they're saying that we're going to basically take 8 measures against the administration of Biden, stopping climate talks and military coordination. Well, I don't think they were ever really involved in either one of those with us.
Well, you know, our priority with the Chinese is climate. I mean, really, it just shows how trivial this administration's foreign policy is. I think the response by China is very, very worrisome. It looks like they fired a ballistic missile over Taiwan for the first time. That's huge. But you know, a lot of people are criticizing Pelosi for going, I'm not one of them. When she heard these threats, she couldn't drop her trip because the Chinese are telling her not to go. And the reason the Chinese were so angry is because the Biden administration leaked the trip to not just that she was going, but the Pentagon didn't want her to go. These things are supposed to be handled privately.
That's right.
There shouldn't have been any press coverage before she arrived in Taipei. And it's the incompetence of the Biden White House that really made the situation so much worse.
And I certainly agree with you. I don't want, as much as I might dislike a lot of her politics, I don't want Chinese communists telling us where our elected representatives can go. It wasn't really a bipartisan trip, which Congressman McCarthy said every time we do one of those, you're supposed to take members of both parties. So what did she look to? What did she look to really do in Taiwan other than just show we're still maintaining a relationship? Was anything really accomplished? And other than getting the ire of the Chinese up, which I on one hand could care less, but the other hand is concerning.
Well, I think she was trying to show our support for the people of Taiwan, but it really is unacceptable that she didn't say to McCarthy, I'm going on this trip, who do you want to send?
Right.
Traditionally, for decades, that's the way it's always been done. But I got to tell you, there's an element here. And I've seen this when I was on the Hill. Before an election, Pelosi will not do anything that will help the other side win. And I think she didn't want McCarthy to go or anyone who might outshine her or make the Republicans look like a good alternative to her leadership of the House. And I think that's really sad.
Can I use the word grandstanding here?
I'm afraid so. As much as I give her credit for not calling off the trip, there certainly was a lot of grandstanding.
Well, the other thing that came out, according to a Fox News exclusive, and quoting sources that supposedly are aware of U.S. and allied intel, saying there's a dangerous window coming up before the Chinese Communist Party this November and our next presidential election 2024, that China could invade by amphibious military invasion of Taiwan within the next 18 months. I'm sure you've heard that. What credence do you give it?
Well, I've been saying that, too. That
I know you have,
I believe that.
But I'm saying the time frame of 18 months. I haven't heard you be that specific.
Well, I thought that if China invades, they're probably thinking we should do it before there's a new Republican president.
Right.
Because they're never going to get a president this week and as indecisive as Joe Biden. And if they're going to invade, I have to imagine the Chinese Communist Party is thinking, like, well, this might be the time we have to move.
Firing those missiles, ballistic missiles, over Taiwan, hitting in the ocean to the east, that in itself tells me that they are truly gearing up. Fred, I really appreciate you taking time. As I said, I had a fire hose full of information, and I think we covered most of it. As always, we appreciate it, sir, and I wish you the very best for this weekend. Good weekend to you. You bet. Fred Flights with the VP of the America First Policy Institute Center. Great source of information. Coming up, Russia says, okay, let's do the prisoner swap. Really? And then also, acts underway to make the Inflation Reduction Act more reliant upon China. Stand by, please.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
The other day, some listeners saw me in Cafe Napoli, and one said, we see you here all the time. I said, yes, you do. I am the Cafe Napoli ambassador. Truth is, I've been a Napoli customer for decades, when there was only the Clayton location, then Town and Country, now St. Charles. Trust me, you'll enjoy great food, drinks, service. Cafe Napoli, Clayton, Town and Country, streets of St. Charles. And tell them the Cafe Napoli ambassador sent you.
Well, the feeling now is central in the southern central
is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
All right, let me begin with the thing I left off with you last, and that is that we have U.S. automakers and a group of Senate Democrats now apparently working to hobble provisions of the Inflation Reduction Comedy Act. See, part of it is that we're supposedly doing this so we can, and Manchin signed on to it, saying, I'm doing it because I want to get us away from relying upon China, especially when it comes to more electric-type vehicles. We rely on them too much for chips already. We get a lot of those from Taiwan as well. But we also need mineral sources, cobalt, to make the batteries for the electric vehicles. We can do that here, but we don't want to even do any drilling of our own oil and gas. We'd rather be relying upon OPEC and foreign nations as opposed to using what God gave and blessed this nation with. But now, Senator Stabenow, Democrat, saying that there might be key components in the bill that would show there would be sourced from the U.S. and allied trading partners that could be changed to allow consumers to receive tax credits for cars that don't meet requirements of the current version of the bill. Bottom line is they're already looking for wiggle room, not going to deliver on what they say is going to be in it. The very reason Manchin signed on that there would be tax credits and other incentives to promote electric vehicles, so forth, and get away from relying upon China for some of it. But the bill also has tax credits built on showing at least 50% of the battery's factory components are manufactured or assembled in North America. It won't be 100% till 2029. It was originally going to prohibit application of any tax credits with any materials or minerals from China, Russia, or any other foreign country we're concerned about. American automakers reportedly protesting, we can't meet the requirements you want, and we can't give those credits if we don't use some of those minerals, if we're going to do this bill the way you want. As I mentioned earlier, if you missed it the first hour, I'm really sorry because you missed a lot in this hour that you should have heard regarding particularly Kyrsten Sinema suddenly doing a turnabout saying, I'm on, let's move forward. Senator Manchin doing the same, but apparently, according to staffers, he's looking weaker and weaker and getting more and more defensive, like, I don't really want to just grit my teeth and go through with it, or do I back out? They need all 50 votes of the Democrats, because that way they could have a tie in the Senate, and VP Harris would cast the deciding vote. And you know what she's going to do. So we're going to have to keep a close eye on this. Schumer's admitting it's still going to be a lot of long hours ahead. He wants to really get it through the Senate hearing tomorrow. They're off today. He's scheduling a hearing for tomorrow and get it written up so they can get it to the full floor of the Senate next week. But it's not a done deal yet. And we should continue to fight against it because, again, it's not going to reduce your taxes. It's the Build Back Better program by Biden with a different name. It's lipstick on a pig. It is still a pig that's going to eat up everything you got. In the meantime, the Kremlin suddenly jumping on an offer to maybe make a prisoner swap. The Russian foreign minister said within 24 hours that WNBA star Griner was hit with a 9-year prison sentence for drug possession. He says, you know, I think we're ready to discuss this topic, but within a framework that we agree upon, we and President Biden, which means Putin will decide. Biden will just go, okay, whatever, and move along with it. And I remind you again, we're giving them a convicted Russian arms dealer that it took years for us to track down and capture. He's in the midst of about midway through a 25-year sentence, and we're going to give him back in exchange for this WNBA star, a black lesbian woman. I'm not using any of that to hold against her. What I hold against her is she is anti-American. She will not go out on the basketball court if the national anthem's being played. And yet she wrote a tearful letter almost to President Biden on July 4 that normally I'd be home celebrating July 4. Does not mean she's celebrating Independence Day, mind you. The only good thing that's coming out of it is that Paul Whelan, a corporate security exec who had been in the Marines, then in a corporate security position, he's been in prison in Russia for 6 years on espionage charges. He's denied it constantly. Griner's been in there in less than 6 months. But she's a black WNBA lesbian basketball star, and the Biden administration can't just get her out. They've got to do something to show, oh, we're trying to get all Americans out. So Whelan's going to get a chance to get out, too. For that, I'm thankful. And I really don't want Griner held in a Russian prison. But I would like to think, this woke her up and said, you think America's so bad now? You think she'll come home and kiss American soil? I'm not going to count on it. She'll probably come back with the same attitude. If that's going to be the case, I say keep her, but send us Whelan. All right, coming up in the next hour, the FBI being weaponized, and the FBI director is clueless.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.